Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Hey, welcome to episode 40. If this is the first time that you've joined us for this podcast, I feel that years of church has conditioned me to say, welcome to all of our first-time guests. Unfortunately, we don't have a gift bag at the Welcome Center, but we do have Wallpaper Wednesday, so head on over to our Instagram at New Release Today and claim your phone wallpaper. If you've been hanging out with us for a while, I just want to say welcome back, and I just very much appreciate your support. We all do here at NRT. And this podcast is coming up on its first year anniversary in just a few days, and it's been quite a crazy ride. When I started this podcast, this is not what I pictured a year ago, but man, it's so much better. And I can only attribute that to being a God thing. I just want to give a huge shout out to Centristy Music and Neon Feather at the start here. We refreshed the theme, the music, the intro, the outro, and they gave us permission to use Neon Feather's music to do so. And I'm just tickled pink. So make sure you head on over to Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen, and just check out Neon Feather and see what he's doing. He's doing some awesome stuff over there. So what happens when you get a pastor on the phone, you hit the points that he's passionate about, and you don't give him a time limit? Well, you get a two-part episode. I caught up with Jeremy from Fearless BND. He's the pastor at Fearless Church over in LA, and we just had a great conversation, and I was expecting about a 40 to 45 minute-ish conversation, and the conversation went about an hour and a half. Really, it could have gone longer, but I literally had a minute left of storage on my recording rig here. Like, it was yelling at me, blinking, everything that I could do to say, hey, we've got to wrap this up. I've got nothing left. Man, he was just very passionate about what we were talking about. And there's so much good stuff in here that instead of trying to cut it, which I don't like to do anyway, we just are doing our first two-part episode. Just a couple things before we head there. Just to kind of give you a mental picture, a little bit in, he talks about how he doesn't look the part of an inner city pastor. You know, he looks like he should be on Duck Dynasty or something like that. Picture in your mind David Crowder, Crowder, with a manicured beard, not the wild crazy beard, but a manicured beard, but the hair, the trucker hat. And you have Jeremy from Fearless Church. And Jeremy, if that's a bad comparison, I'm sorry. You can yell at me later. I know it's tough, you know, when you're listening to a podcast to kind of visualize when they say, you know, I don't look like or whichever. So I figured I'd give, you know, a little bit of a visual, at least, you know, to the best of my ability here. And one of the things that I find so cool about how Fearless Church started is just how they went into the dark and just were light in that dark place. And Jeremy talks a bit about one of the nightclubs that they started in that actually had beds built into it. Just a crazy, crazy place to start a church. And as he was talking about that, all I could hear was my stepdad. And when I was a teenager, he would always go up to the pastor and say, man, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. I just can't sleep like that at home. And all of us would roll our eyes and just walk away. The pastor would give a pity chuckle. He thought it was the best thing ever, every single time. You know, it was good times, good times. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, he would really be able to sleep through a sermon on that. And then Jeremy talks a little bit more about the club itself and just how unique it was to start a church in that kind of environment. And I'm like, nope, never mind. I take that back. But, man, it's just such an awesome conversation that we have ahead of us here. And so part one, we'll talk about the history of Fearless Church and, you know, Jeremy and his wife's journey. And we'll just kind of set the stage for part two, where he talks more about the Fearless theme, about the theme for the album that they just released not long ago, and just some of the struggles that they have as a church. It's a very diverse church, just politically, ethnically, and just how they love their church family through everything that's going on in the world today. You know, all the messages that the media is sending us, and what we're supposed to think, what we're not supposed to think. They bounce it against the Bible and what the Bible says. Sometimes that means supporting a message, but not the organization. And sometimes that just looks like a radical love that raises eyebrows. And so part two talks more about that. Like I said, part one, what you'll hear from Jeremy here in just a minute here, is just kind of the setup to what we'll hear, just the history in that. So without further ado, here is Jeremy with Fearless. You guys, we're hanging out with Jeremy from Fearless Band. BND, my bad. Hey, how's it going?
Great, man. How are you?
Doing good. And following with the trend, I've been seeing a lot of bands taking out some of the vowels and the stylistic. So I'm always going to pronounce it band. So if I'm wrong,
that's then... great, man. That's yes, please do.
Yeah. Before we get going too far, I wanted to tell you about a little story that I had, or a little experience that I had. I want to say it was back in 2008. Wanted to know if you've heard of this band before. Went on this, I think it was Creation Fest tour. Creation Festivals took a little tour around the country, took some bands.
Yeah.
Cutlass was in their 1,000-Foot Crutch, you know, a few bands. There's this band that I really liked called Worth Dying For. I really love their stuff. They had an album called Love Riot. And have you ever heard of those guys before?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Yeah, actually, that is us. That we have morphed into Fearless Band, but that's our band that back in the youth group days, I was a youth pastor, and we formed Worth Dying For out of what was the stadium. Youth ministry Worth Dying For ended up going on the road, and we actually formed several bands inside our youth ministry from that. But if you're a fan of Worth Dying For, you are wondering what happened to the sound, what happened to the guitars. We are too.
Well, and I took the complete dork route to that one, but I was listening to Spotify one day, and I was like, yep, looking for Worth Dying For. So that Love Ride album was a favorite of mine, has been a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there's a new logo on there, and it's by a different band. It's like, what is going on here?
Oh, man. Yeah. What happened is actually we planted a church, again, Worth Dying For. That Love Ride CD was about four CDs in. Most people see that as the first CD, but it's really the first time a lot of people discovered us. It was about four CDs in, and Love Ride and that whole era was our youth ministry days. And then we moved up to Los Angeles to start a church, and really started a church before starting a church was the thing to do. And so we didn't have a lot of books. We didn't have a lot of systems. There wasn't a lot of churches named things like Fearless, which is our church name. In fact, when we first named our church Fearless, everyone told us we were crazy. And we just felt like, hey, we're just going to go after God the same way we did in the youth ministry days. You know, everything began to be fearless, fearless, fearless. And God really began to brand us, our hearts with that. You know, a scared world needs a fearless church was the quote that really marked us. Fear for me and my wife were both in Worth Dying For, part of Worth Dying For. And many of the people that moved with us to start the church had been a major thing in our life. And we just kind of started going forward. And as we had to take almost a hiatus from making music to plant a church. You know, we were writing music. We were, you know, in a sense, performing it for our small community in a house. It went from electric guitars to acoustic. And we were just, you know, we began to write like that. We began to dream like that. And then when we started church, you know, and kind of the sound change of Fearless, many people are wondering what happened to the sound of Worth Dying For into Fearless B&D. It's a totally different sound. It's a lot of the same musicians, I would say it's almost like a different chapter of our movement. When we were Worth Dying For, we were ministering to a lot of punk rock kids. We had a whole ministry to, we brought in hardcore bands from all over the world, and we were getting tons of kids from Modesto, California saved that were into the punk rock hardcore scene. So when those kids were getting saved, the worship music of Hillsong, that was awesome. The worship music of, you know, Bethel really didn't exist in those days. Jesus culture in those days wasn't really hitting the kids the same way as Catherine and Under Oath and all these bands that we were bringing in. And so Worth Dying For was really not written that way because we just like rock music. It was written that way because we were trying to give worship for a generation that had never experienced worship, and they had experienced heavy rock and roll. And so we just started rewriting all the songs with heavy guitar riffs, screaming in the music, a little bit of rap, but in Modesto, it wasn't too hip hop driven. And then when we moved to LA, the word fearless kept being our anthem. And we didn't really take a break from music, but we were kind of shifting our focus, and we're writing music, but the CDs and stuff we kind of waited on as we felt like we needed to. All of our music for us is a soundtrack to the movement that God is doing in our lives. It's our anthem, you know? And so as we were planting the church, we felt like, okay, let's plant the church. Let's give it some roots. And then let's create an anthem out of that. And as a young church, we actually began to meet in nightclubs all over the city. We've met in probably 20 of LA's nightclubs, you know, premier nightclubs. To be honest, man, some of the nightclubs had beds built into them, stripper poles, I mean, Buddha statues. I mean, we were lifting up the name of Jesus in some of the darkest places in all of LA. As we began to do that, just like in the youth days, how hardcore kids begin to get saved, the new hardcore music, in a sense, at least in LA, was this EDM, DJ driven, you know, at least for the group we were reaching. The switch, even in our sound, came again from us saying, God, we want to reach these people. We want to, as people are getting saved, you know, they were on heroin the night before. The security guard would invite them. Hey, there's a church here tomorrow. I did come. And, you know, the same rock music that we were doing back in the days wasn't hitting these people the same. And so we began to reshape our worship to this EDM, chain smokers kind of sound to really reach the people that we were now reaching, which was these club goers. The night before they're doing heroin and the security guard invites them, dude, you need to come to church. And like, why would I ever go to church? And hey, it's at the nightclub tomorrow. So people would literally turn up and say they were tripping out in the green room after getting saved, or in the back room with us. And we're like, what's going on? I was like, I was just here partying last night, and I received that prayer you gave me. And so we just begin, a lot of our sound that you hear now, and that morph came, the change of name came from the change of our mission to Fearless. And the change of the sound came through, really, not that we're done with rock music, because I think we're going to add more elements as we morph and grow into what God has for us. But that heavy switch in sound really came from the people that we're reaching. The people that we're reaching is why we make music. And it's really hit home for some of them. A lot of them are like, you could just see them come to life in the worship. Like, if you've ever seen an EDM concert, it reminds me a lot of those hardcore concerts back in the days where the crowd is just moshing and just, I don't know, obviously slam dancing to this. The synth has almost replaced the guitar in this world and the sub. And so we just kind of embraced in that. And even though we love guitars, you'll find a few places where we'll put them in and hopefully one day screams again. But, you know, that's kind of the switch and the everything. And I think for us, it is a new thing. It's not the same thing, but we just kind of grabbed that music that was us and put it under our same umbrella. Who knows, man? Now that we're on a record label, I've been talking to them and saying, hey, I think there's still Worth Dying For fans out there that are like, hey, I like your new sound, but I miss Love Riot. We've even talked about with our record label about, hey, we should just release another Worth Dying For CD as well. Do them both. But yeah, we have tons of old songs with heavy riffs in it. We just haven't actually released any of them. But yeah, that's the Worth Dying For merge into Fearless Band. And now it's Frankenstein. So
so cool. Well, if you need any help with saying that
you have some Worth Dying For fans still out here.
Okay.
We'll send them a copy of this podcast.
And please. Yeah, there you
evidence,
go.
Documented evidence that people want this.
Yeah, they were saying, hey, is it a nostalgia thing or is it actually something people want? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't know because it's so funny. Every time we release new music, people love it. But you see people are still listening to that old Love Riot, specifically Love Riot, Savior, Destroy, a lot of those old stuff. But, you know, if you've heard our new, we still got the spoken words in there and everything, but it's just a new mission in a sense of reaching those, in our world, those club goers that are getting saved in the hundreds in our ministry. And even you'll hear on this new CD, we made a Spanish song. And that's because a lot of the people getting saved are Hispanic in our church. And so we actually wrote a song. None of us speaking Spanish in the band pulled in other writers and worked on some music even for them. So for us, our music is an arm to what we're doing. We're not a band in a sense, even though it's called Fearless B&D. We're a movement. And that movement is always moving and morphing and changing. And who knows, maybe you don't need to make a new band. Maybe we just need to bring back some of the guitars in there and some of the heavy riffs. Absolutely. Mix it with the synth.
Yes. Well, and what's crazy about Love Riot is a lot of the elements in Love Riot are popping up into music now, like the rock with the hip-hop lyrics in the middle. I mean, look at Switch's Symphony. They have the worship side to it, and then they have Dylan. I can't remember his name. Yeah, but they have that rap version in the middle.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, so that what you guys did back in Love Riot, which that was 2011, I think, was the release date when I was looking at Spotify just 5 minutes ago, is coming out now.
So. Yeah, we were always we kind of live in that zone. We're always ahead of our time, and I think on purpose. You know, we want to be pioneers, and so even Love Riot, it was ahead of its time. No radio, even in one of the songs, we said something about Air One, can you hear us now? And they still didn't play it, you know, because it just was too far ahead. Even our new stuff, a lot of radio stations are nervous to play it because we're trying to write music that is current. And really, a lot of Christian music is actually behind.
Yes.
So when we write it current, it's way too far ahead for church and Christians. But we're always just going to push the envelope. That's what we do.
And I've talked about this a little bit on a couple episodes, but it's crazy to me that, you know, back at one point in time, the church was the forefront of artistry in the world. And now we've kind of been playing catch up. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it is catching up. And I think we are seeing some modern Christian music be probably better than the mainstream version a lot. But, you know, it's taken a while for that shift to really happen of chasing styles, you know, and chasing the creativity that Christian music has to be in a certain box to being the forefront and pushing that envelope as well.
Yeah. I think for many years we became copiers instead of creators. And because we're copying, we're creating what others have already created. And there's no God factor in that. You know, God stepped out into chaos and the first thing he did was create. But he didn't copy someone else's. And so we have that Holy Spirit inside of us to not care what is cool or what is the current, but find that current inside of us. You know, and I think that's intimidating at times because it's like there's a fear that I don't know what is right. Will anybody else like it? I think that's the thing that every artist goes through that actually creates something. But they have to fight that. They have to go, I'm just asking, do I like this? And if I like this, someone out there, if this registers with me, someone out there in the world, this registers with them. And this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And so we've always tried to push that. I mean, if anything, as a creative, I hate copying. Even in our church, my wife will bring me, here's an idea this church is doing, or here, and I'm like, I don't want to do it now. Don't tell me unless the Holy Spirit. And then some things we do need to not recreate the will, but I think all we're doing is recreating the will. What's special about that? I mean, if we're going to catch anyone's attention, the greatest artists that have stood this test of time are the ones that created something new. Linkin Park, you know, where people are still listening to Linkin Park because it was something different. Jay-Z, Beastie Boy. I mean, just all the people, Eminem, the way he did it, his style, even NF, that he didn't go the typical CCM style, he found his own lane with the, I love NF because he does the whole symphony with the hip hop beat and he's just raw. He's not making it pretty. He's creating, he's not copying. And so, you know, I love that. And that's a passion of ours. If anything sounds like, oh, this sounds like Young and Free, I'm like, well, let's not do it. Let's just send it over to Young and Free. If they want it, great. But we need to make something that, what is fearless about this? Where's the synth line that's ours? What's the signature that we put on it? And our music, if you listen to the whole CD that we just put out, it's very different. Every song is very different. You got almost like a country jam on there in Fear Not. You got like a ballad. You got an EDM. They call it a bop. You got all these different styles. I mean, the spoken word is totally different. It's almost like an alternative type feel. I'm like headbanging in the music video. So it's got all these different feels in it. And really for us, we're trying to create through who we are. And I think that's what people miss when you copy. You're creating through who someone else is and you're missing out on that essence of what God gave you. And so in our band, we have totally different people. I'm totally different than our other writers. And so when I write, it's going to sound a certain way. And then what we try to do is we try to mix writers. Hey, this writer writes real country sounding and this writer writes real EDM and this writer writes kind of like metal. What if we mix those three people together and see what kind of child comes out of this? And so we've always done that. I mean, back in the day, a lot of the stuff we were writing with Worth Dying, there's a guy named Nate Parrish who's now in Cutlass. He writes for Cutlass a lot now, but he was our bass player and guitarist, and we would write together with him a lot. And a lot of the heavy metal influence would come from him, mixing it with Christy, who, my wife, who is more of a straight down the line. She's going to write like an anthem for the church. When you mix those two together, it's like, wow, you get higher. You get some of the old music that you heard. And so even now we're mixing some hip hop writers with some R&B writers and just kind of getting some new vibes or some new sounds in there. So I think that's something the church is missing, and we don't have to miss out on it. That's not a hit to the church. I just think we need to wake up to realize we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and God in the beginning created. It's the first thing he did. If you're watching this out there and you've been, you know, wondering if what you have inside of you is good enough, that's the wrong question. You know, yeah, when my daughter makes me a picture, it's not if it's good enough. I'm not ever looking at her picture comparing it to Picasso. She is already a Picasso because she's my daughter. Most churches just copy other worship. You know, they just take someone else's song and they do covers. It's like a karaoke performance because it's just someone else's song. They didn't write anything in it. There's no them in the song. It's just a singing the song. And I think that there's a place for that. And we do that as well and stuff. But a long time ago, God really convicted me. I was at a Planet Shakers, if you've heard of Planet Shakers, conference. And there was just something different about the people worshiping. And this was when I was a youth pastor, and there was just some kind of passion there and some kind of fire there that I had never experienced in church. I had seen it when we would have concerts, but I'd never experienced in church. Just some unlocking of people, this passion that was in them, in the songs. And I said, God, what is that? And God began to describe to me. He said, look, these people, Planet Shakers, write their own songs to me. They write these to me from their heart. And he said, if you gave your dad a Hallmark Father's Day card and you didn't write in it, it had the perfect words, it had the great picture, it was the coolest Father's Day card, but you didn't even sign it, you didn't put anything in it, you just handed it to him, what would he do? And I said, well, my dad would give it back to me. Like, you know, what do you do? At least sign it. You know, yeah, right? If you're not going to write in it, at least sign it. But my mom, it's not even about signing it. You better not write a little bit. You better fill up every blank space on that card or she's handing it back to you. In fact, several times I've gotten cards handed back to me from my mom that I signed, but even the back has to be signed and it has to be my words. She doesn't care if it's misspelled. She doesn't care if it's out of order. She doesn't care if I forgot a comma. She wants my hand to put ink on that page from my heart. And so when I was at that conference, God began to just convict me with, we need to be, as a church, as a ministry, we need to begin to write in the card. When we got back, and after God gave me that vision, this is where Worth Dying For originally, and then now what's morphed into Fearless Band started, is that we just started writing in the card. So we had this perfect card, and I don't even know if you can do this, but we had the perfect card of Hillsong Band's greatest hit, right? And we would just write a bridge. In fact, the song back in the day, Higher, that is still a song that a lot of people listen to this day, came out of us writing in The Enemy's Been Defeated. We rewrote a bridge or a verse to that song that was our own. And we would sing the rest of the song, and then we'd get to this part, and we'd sing our part that we wrote, because we didn't know how to write songs yet. We didn't really understand. We were just young. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to start. And so we just began to write in other people's songs. Nice. And then we found the kids would sing in that part more than any other part, in the presence of God would show up in our church more in that part of the song. And it wasn't that it was better. It was that it was ours. And it was our words. When my dad gets that card, he skips all the professional words and he goes right to reading my words. Even though my words may not be as good as a professional, they come from me. And so that's what he wants to see. And so we begin to find, okay, whatever we were writing, it was just something was shifting in the atmosphere. And then we begin to take those songs and write whole songs. And that's kind of what we do to this day. I mean, all the songs on this record, we have sung in our church like 100 times. We have 100 more songs that we didn't put on the record because they didn't go over in our church the same way. There was something about the words, something about the vibe, something about what this song did to the atmosphere in our city. The words, fear not, in a time where we're going through a global pandemic. We live in Los Angeles. There's protests that are turning into riots. Literally a couple blocks from our church, there are riots. The riots that you saw in LA, that's right next to our church.
Oh, wow.
And so we're singing these songs and they're hitting home for us. And people are tearing up and God's showing up in a powerful way for us in these times. And, that's what we're now sharing with the world. And we're just praying that the same way it touches us, it would touch your church and in your car. My family worships best in the car. You know, we turn on our worship music and my daughters start lifting their hands and, we're just worshiping the car together. It's such a pure moment, you know, no one's watching. And so really our CD, we also want to create it. A lot of it is studio because we want to create it also for your car. And we'll make a live CD coming up, but we want to make something you could bump in your car and you can worship wherever you're at, not just in a church atmosphere, but you can begin to worship around friends that maybe don't even know what worship is. You can be playing it at a barbecue and you're slipping worship into the barbecue, the atmosphere of the barbecue, not beyond 10 people because of COVID, of course. Yes. But
so make sure you find your 10 unsaved friends and introduce.
There you go. Put Fearless B&D on. The whole thing, you're gonna get rock screams, you're gonna get EDM beats.
Let's see how long is this one? See how long this barbecue lasts, this whole album.
At least an hour, I think. 50 minutes. 13 songs, 50 minutes. The altar call will be right at the end, I fear not, you know?
Yes. So, yeah, 50 minutes.
Wow, we never hit like an even number like that. That's hilarious.
But so as you're talking about that, I really don't find that too out of the ordinary, which the different styles and all that. Because a lot of what I see or what I've heard from different worship bands, you know, as I've done 40 some odd episodes of this, is they're all writing for what's happening in their church. And what's so cool to see about that is just the difference that's happening in the Fearless Church that is, this is the worship music, and that's still fits the theme of what I've heard from all the other worship bands, but there's just something different. It's just a different demographic, and that's so cool to hear.
Yeah, the change in our sound is really, and if our sound changes again, it's just because our church changed, you know, as we grow and do more stuff. Our music is the anthem of our, in a sense, movie. It's the soundtrack of our movie. You know, you picture who's Hans Zimmer. Yep. Hans Zimmer, there's a sound to him, but it changes with the movie. It's still Hans Zimmer, but he's creating the environment for the movie that's at hand. And so our music, we're constantly creating the environment for what is happening in our church. In this CD, you'll hear lots of like anthems, but you also hear lots of fun songs where you're just dancing and there's joy that you feel when you listen to it. And that's because people in our church are getting saved for the first time, like have never met Christ. And some of the songs, we're giving them something to dance to, something to get some joy going in their life. Or, you know, obviously with Fear Not or Nobody Like You or victorious or shake. One of my favorites, shaking off my failures. It's like an EDM kind of feel, but you know, just so many people in our church that have gotten saved. It's like, well, God, does God see me as a failure? And it's like, no, we're shaking those failures off. Like we're letting them fall right off of us. And so, yeah. So as you'll hear the same, if you listen good enough to the both, to all of our music, you'll hear our signature sounds in there. And like, I think what you'll hear the most in through all of it is passion. That's my hope, is that no matter the sound, you're going to hear passion. You're going to hear passion and the truth and our love for Jesus. And that's going to be the stream, not a sound, not a genre. We aren't a genre. We're people, and new people are getting saved and added to our church every day. And so it's, the sound is even going to change and morph as, hey, a hip hop artist gets saved. And so, boom, we add some more hip hop to it, or someone that's heavy in the rock scene gets, you know, so as these people are in our church and become writers, you know, which the band is about 20 people, really, to be honest, wow. And it's never going to stop growing. We may have like a crew that might be the road team or whatever, but like we consider our whole church a part of it at any moment. In fact, on the CD, there are like at least 5 new singers that have never even sang on a CD in their life. I don't even think they've sang in a recording in their life. One of the songs, One It All, that's a young girl that's in our ministry called Katie, and another guy named Cam. Cam, he sings a lot in his little home studio, but he's never like done worship. And then Katie had never really sang, and just sang with her hairbrush in a room. And then we discovered she was one of our worshipers, and we needed a country sound in that. I said, what about Katie? And for us, we just always want to give a path for people to like stand on our shoulders, me and Christy, you know, really the only probably 3 original, maybe 4 original members in this band from Worth Dying For is me, my wife, and our drummer. And then everyone else is just like got saved along the way. A couple people got saved the first day of church. A couple of them, you know, older in life, gave their life to Christ or rededicated, were pastors' kids and wandered away from God. And now they're chasing the heart of God. And so that's kind of like our band is really just an army of worshipers.
That's so cool. And so let's talk a little bit about Fearless Church. I mean, I'm one of those people that I think it's really cool that you did services in clubs and just in those places. Would I go? Probably, but with a few different, a few weird looks, but just doing something out of the ordinary and going into these places is just something that I think is so cool. And so I'm hearing that you guys have a new building downtown, obviously, where there's a lot of heartache with what you were talking about, the riots. Talk a little bit about Fearless Church and what you're seeing there in LA, which is, at least from what I see in Texas here, is just kind of a crazy place at the moment.
Yeah, that is crazy. And it's new ministry. You know, I mean, I've had a couple moments where I've just like, God, I'm the wrong guy. You know, I'm from a small country town called Galt, which stands for Great American Little Town. I mean, it's, you know, I grew up on a farm with, you know, being able to shoot shotguns in my backyard. The only part of California that's still kind of like Texas in some ways. And so then God has this sense of humor that he would send us to Los Angeles. I call it Los Angeles because we're lost there all the time. You know, the only reason why we fit in is because God put us there and placed us there. And so, but it's a city that's hurting. It's the city of lost, the angels, the city of the angels in Spanish. And so it's a broken city. It's very broken. I mean, we lived for about 3 years, a mile from a place called Skid Row, where about 40 to 50, who knows, maybe 60,000 homeless people sleep on the streets at night. In fact, in front of our new building, there's a whole homeless encampment that we just, you know, no one can get rid of. So we just embrace it and just love on them and just consider it's part of LA. Driving through from our house to the church, I had to tell my kids, my 3 young kids, put your head down, kids. And then why dad? I can't tell you why. And I had to have them put their head down because there's a lady taking a shower in the fire hydrant, fully naked. Or just two days ago, there was a guy in the middle of the street, fully naked, no underwear, no nothing, just in the middle of the street, stopping traffic, disorientated, on drugs. So this is kind of like where I've been raising my family. and also where we're planting a church. I mean, when God told us LA, I said, all right, God, I'll go to Orange County, never LA. And so then he sent us to LA. Nightclubs in LA open up and we began to do church there. And I said, God, okay, as long as you don't send me to downtown or Hollywood. And guess where our church has been the most? Downtown in Hollywood. So we've been there, not because, you know, I didn't want to go there. I just said, God, not first. You know, if we're going to plant campuses, let us start somewhere easier. I've never done this. This seems like a hard place, you know, very, if you understand spiritual warfare, lots of spiritual warfare going on. So God has put us in about 7 different nightclubs. When we first started our church, we moved every week to a different nightclub. In fact, to go to our church, you had to be on Instagram because sometimes we couldn't announce it till the night before because we couldn't find a place. And so our church is very young, very tech savvy, because it was birthed out of, you can't find our church just by knowing where it's at. It was like an underground. It was almost like a pop-up church. You know, we had a U-Haul and we'd just pop up in different nightclubs and sometimes not even seen the nightclub before. In fact, I told you one time we were in a nightclub with beds in it. It was the only nightclub left. It was called the Supper Club. And I was like, God, why? Come on. This is, how am I going to make this work? And there was literally beds in the main room, where the whole concept is they would lay on a bed and watch a burlesque dance show as that was the nightclub. And so I just said, well, I'll preach about the man in the bed that was lowered through the roof. And so I preached about it. I just said, just don't sit on the beds. And so it happened to be that nightclub owner. Actually, we had to be there twice. He gave his heart to the Lord because his nightclub got shut down from underage prostitution that was happening in that nightclub in the basement.
Oh, no.
Snoop Dogg threw the Last Supper there. He was Jesus in the picture. And the cops shut it down. They shut down the nightclub. And so he was letting us as a church use the nightclub with beds because he couldn't rent it out to a nightclub. So he was just really broken. And so we actually got to lead him to the Lord because he was just like, what is this? Who are you guys? Christians are afraid to go to church in that kind of environment. But I think that's exactly where Jesus would be. I mean, Jesus was constantly hanging out with notorious sinners. Not that he became a sinner, but he was not afraid of sinners. He was not afraid of being in environments with sinners. In fact, personally, to be honest with you, bro, I feel more comfortable around sinners than I do around Christians, because it's a place where you're not judged and you can just let Jesus be Jesus out of you. And so, you know, we as a church, as a pastor, you know, I don't look like your typical pastor. In fact, you know, if I tell people I'm a pastor, they're like, what? Are you sure? I thought you look more like you're off of Duck Dynasty or you know, you kind of look like the stereotypical picture of Jesus. But you know, I don't even know if that's right. And so we've been in nightclubs, you know, we've seen people saved. And so now recently, just this Easter, God gave us a building 600 feet in downtown from the Staples Center, which the last nightclub we were in was mainly in the downtown nightclub. We were in a nightclub there and the owners watched on cameras in the room. And I guess while they were watching my sermon, peace came over their house. They felt like this voice started talking to them. I was like, what? It was the Holy Spirit, obviously, but the owner wasn't a Christian. So he said, I heard a voice. And the voice, when I was watching your sermon, told me to go tell my wife, sorry, we're about to get a divorce. And so him and his wife make up the club owner. And this is a different club from the one I was telling you earlier. And so he comes to the staff and he says, we got to have this church in here every week. So for 5 years, we met in that one nightclub. They cut the price down from $10,000 a week to our budget was like $1,500 a week to meet in there. It's the same nightclub they film everything in. All the award shows are, I mean, the screens are up to, it's just crazy. And so that was in downtown. So we really felt like God put us in downtown. So we went to look for a building. We found one in downtown and it's just a big warehouse. So we kind of have almost like a loft style church in there. We put in stadium seating. I mean, this looks like a crazy, almost like nightclub with shipping containers. And we have a shipping container coffee shop in there. And so, bro, we had service for 2 weeks in there and then COVID hit.
Oh,
and we had to change everything. And I'm sitting in my house. I'm like, God, we just got a building. We just got this lease. And God just began to speak to me again. He said, Jeremy, I didn't give it to you for no reason. I just want you to think different. So now we're doing everything online. But it's kind of loosened up a little bit. So at our building, it's right next to the freeway. There's a giant parking lot. we took over that parking lot. We're doing drive-in services on Sunday there, and all the cars pull up. I preach a message off a trailer, and then all day long we have like online services we do that are extremely different than a typical church service. We kind of do it like every 5 minutes it changes. It's not just a person preaching. It's almost like you're watching a some kind of creative show. And it's not a show, you know, in a sense, but it's more online to keep your attention. And then we do the drive-ins, like a full-on sermon, worship. We give out groceries at the end. We've turned our building into a grocery center. It's like a Love on LA center. And so every Wednesday we wash cars through there. We give out groceries twice a week. 2 weeks ago, we gave out groceries to 1,000 families. We gave out groceries that would last them a week. And so we're just, we're constantly just asking the Lord, like, how can we love our city till they ask why? We've actually participated in the marches. We did a peaceful protest with our church. A lot of our church wanted to protest, but they didn't want to ruin stuff. So I said, hey, I'll go with you. Let's plan one from our church. So there was a peaceful protest that happened in Hollywood with over 1,000 people. We actually started that with 30 people and it grew to 1,000. And we were right at the front of it. We have videos from the news of Fearless LA is with you and this whole thing. And we've also been a part of cleaning up from the riots that took place in LA. We've been a part of also, you know, we have several police officers that go to our church that are just overwhelmed with what's going on right now. Yeah. Good police officers, even black police officers that are just in a rock and a hard place. They're black by culture and skin color, but they're stuck in this thing where they're hated because of a few people, what has happened in the system that's been set up. And so we've been loving on them, ministering to them, just finding a place to minister to a very diverse church. And in our church, we have a lot of advocate people, a lot of people that when you're in LA and you're surviving in LA, you're a shark. You're a fighter. You know, someone that will tell you, I love you one day, will fight you the next day. And so we found a way to, through the Holy Spirit, to say, hey, we're grabbing every side of the arm, every corner, and we're saying, what does God say on this? What does the kingdom say on this? So anyways, that's, I know I've more than answered your question, but that's kind of what Fearless is up to these days. We're online. If you hear this podcast, every Sunday, we have people that come to our church from all over the world. And our leaders from all over the world online. So we have like 9 services online where people actually are ushers online and greeters online. We do all kinds of ministries online, kids ministry online. And then we have the drive-in. If you're in LA, you drive your car up, we give you a hot meal and groceries on the way out. It's been really cool to see how many people, you know, and we've had a few people get COVID in our church, you know, as LA is a hot spot. And so we've helped reach out to them. We have doctors in our church that are battling COVID. It's a crazy time we live in where we're getting better at online. I think God is moving us to online. God is moving us to reach more people. We've reached like 100,000 times more people this way than we ever did being a church. The church has turned into a studio, and now we can reach the world and the masses. We're reaching people in Iraq. We're reaching people in Muslim nations are turning their lives over to Christ and getting saved because of Fearless broadcast that's going out. So we're excited about it. We know that it sucks being stuck in from COVID, but we know God has a plan in all of it, and we're trusting that plan.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.